All right, time now to look through the window of baseball with Bruce Jenkins of the Chronicle. It's brought to us by Marvin Windows and Doors and, of course, Truett & White, the professional builder's choice in that new showroom down in Monterey. Bruce, good morning. How are you?
Hey, Bruce.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good. Thank you for being patient this morning. And did you hear any of Jeremy on what he's doing?
A little bit, yeah. I was kind of in and out here. Been a busy day at the household, but I heard a little Blylevin, too, which was interesting.
Yeah, a couple of things. Well, first of all, Bert Blylevin and Bruce, we started with him with Ron Wotus this morning, and Ron Wotus said that he, Ron Wotus, was an expert at the hot foot. and also prank. He would put chewing gum up on the attached to a cup,
yeah,
and then put water in the cup and attach a chewing gum above a player.
Right.
And eventually the gum would let go and the cup of water would fall on a player's head. And the issue was that you had to hope the same player was there, that they didn't switch. But, you know, it's funny about baseball, and we bring it up for this point, the sort of the camaraderie of baseball and the jokes of baseball over the years. Isn't it an amazing part of a winning team?
Yeah, I mean, it's something you associate with winners. You know, guys, it's the little kid comes out in them, you know. What the Giants have going now with the helmets, I'm looking for Kirk Douglas in there. You know?
Good, Spartacus, yeah.
Maybe, Ben-Hur, maybe a chariot race, you know.
Right.
I mean, you never know. But it's when you cover a team and they're having a lot of fun like that, it's just priceless because it's ongoing. And it's a hard sort of momentum to slow down because it feeds on itself and everybody gets involved in it. Even some of the guys who maybe don't have the strongest personalities, you see their characters start to come out a little bit. So it's a really fun thing.
Yeah, big time, Bruce. And just in sports, the art of pranking each other is such a great element. And I always look back to basketball. Do you remember when Rick Mahorn hid underneath the dinner table and Manute Bol comes up and lifts the top of the dinner tray up? And there's Rick Mahorn, scared the living hell out of Manute Bol. And that's a classic. But in baseball, it's such a time-honored tradition. And on this team, Sergio Romo is kind of a prankster,
is he?
Right?
I didn't know that.
I mean, he's always photobombing people, and he's got that big personality, right? So it's just part of baseball, Bruce.
It's a great thing. The hot foot is a real art. You talk about using a fungo bat or hitting to the right side, you know, or throwing a double play. But the hot foot is a real underrated art in baseball. The guys who can really do it, and, you know, they're sitting there waiting to just crack up and, you know, it's hilarious. I remember in the 81 A's with Billy Martin managed team, that was very prevalent in the dugout. You know, who was the best at lighting a guy's foot on fire?
I mean, when you think about it, and just think of it, you're lighting someone's foot on fire. I mean, when you get down to the basic point here, it is a little bit bizarre.
Or pieing somebody like they do for the A's.
Pieing someone is a little easier. Lighting someone's foot on fire is a little different.
I mean, it's a lot funnier to see it than read the words.
Yes, really. Really? Hey, Bert Blylevin, who's in the park, and Bruce, you heard a little bit of his interview with us this morning. 287 wins, as he told me, 3,700 strikeouts. He was the master at this kind of stuff, and he was a big star. He would crawl around the stadium to get there to get you so you couldn't see him.
Yeah, he was a total prankster. He was like the guy in the fraternity who just lives to mess with other people. You know, a great sense of humor. I'm sure he's a delight to hear on the Twins broadcast. And of course, he had the great, the best right-handed curveball I'd ever seen for years. You know, now you see a lot of guys throwing insane breaking pitches. But he said something to you that the thing that resonated most with me was talking about pitch counts and when a guy gets to 85, 90 pitches, he and the manager and everybody in the park saying, well, this is about over with. And it's just so ridiculous how this could be some kind of universal standard and it changes everybody's outlook on how a guy's pitching. He'd sort of like to see that 100 go away and maybe, 120 is when you start worrying. There really shouldn't be any number put on it, but the 100 thing is just bugged the heck out of me, and I'm glad to hear him weigh in on that.
Yeah, and a very, very special guy, and he's accomplished a lot in baseball. Bruce Jenkins with us from the San Francisco Chronicle. Looking at Vogel's song last night, Bruce, and again, you talk about turnarounds, and I always say you never know what's going to happen in a given day or a given season, but boy, you look at surprises. This guy was about one or two starts away from long relief forever, and he's turned it around, and I said it last night, and I'll say it to you. If you had to win one game now, and I know I put this out on the show last night, and everyone was screaming and yelling about Hudson or Bumgarner, but I'm telling you, I think this guy's pitching the best ball on the team right now.
Yeah, well, how many teams do put three guys in that discussion? You know, I mean, most teams, you can pretty much isolate the one guy you'd want out there, maybe two, but to have three is fantastic. And, yeah, I mean, he's, you know, the thing about him, he's just got that steely nerve out there. He's such a great competitor. And we've reached a point now where the sample size isn't that small. He's put together, what I think, six really good starts in a row, absolutely hitting his spots. It's just a real sweet revival for the guy, and I'm sure he's savoring, you know, quietly in his way, you know, how well he's doing against, you know, there was a lot of skepticism, but he could be the guy. They wouldn't have any trouble running him out there in a big game, biggest game.
Well, I tell you, Bruce, I'm part of the contingency. I had written Vogelsong off, and now I'm eating crow watching this guy deal. Another guy I had written off, Pablo Sandoval.
Yeah.
And yesterday we talked about players in baseball that can carry a ball club. I don't know if Pablo's carrying the team, but he sure is. He's really helping out. I mean, I don't know if it's mental, physical, emotional. What do you think's going on with Pablo at the plate?
Well, he's just being himself. He's a great hitter. He's just simply a great hitter. I mean, what he did to Verlander in the World Series, all the great moments he's had, he's erratic, and obviously his weight goes up and down, but the guy's just a heck of a hitter. I mean, I would never write him off. I mean, there's points where he looks like he could be retired on just about any pitch, and he falls into slumps. But when he gets hot, you know, a few guys are better. He's a switch hitter. To me, it's completely understandable what he's doing. Not the least bit surprising, because that's who he is.
So how do you look at him now if you're the San Francisco Giants? I mean, the first part of the season, he looked like, all right, it's been nice knowing you.
Yeah.
Now, all of a sudden, he's got four homers in six games and a major contributor to why they're winning right now.
I definitely want to keep him. And, you know, at third base, he may not be Brooks Robinson, but he's very quick. He's fearless, and he's got great hands, and he's a great athlete. Through all those weight problems, he's a heck of an athlete with unbelievable hand-eye coordination. I want him. I want him on the team. I'd love to sign him up for 3 years right now. You know, that's not the way these things work. But, you know, also given the fact that they don't have much depth in the minor league system, I don't think Posey's going to move to third base anytime soon. I want Sandoval on the team. He's great for marketing, too. The fans love him. They're still wearing the panda hats. They never gave up on him. And you see what he can do up there. He's a genius hitter in his way, and I want him.
Boy, it's going to be interesting. Believe me, I agree with you. There's no alternative, let's put it that way. I don't want Chase Headley.
No.
You know, you want him here. And, you know, the way he hits, and Pat said it, he can carry a ball
club.
Can
you trust him, though, to stay in shape and all these things?
I think you can. Maybe that sounds nuts, but I think he's got to have, you know, his brother, his closest friends keeping track of him. You know, I don't think we have any problems during this season. I mean, he's not going to suddenly gain 30 pounds during a baseball season if he's playing every day. The offseason in Venezuela will be big, especially if he has a real good year. Say the Giants make the playoff and he has a good run, and you know, who knows, he might celebrate a little too much in the offseason, but he's shown that he can drop that weight.
Yeah.
He's also shown that he can hit when he's a little overweight. It's obviously not a good thing, but yeah, I just have faith in the guy. I love his spirit. He never gets too down on himself. The clubhouse camaraderie and the team is huge with him. It keeps him loose, and he never feels like he's got to carry the whole thing. So I just got faith in the guy.
Yeah, I agree. I must tell you how much I'm enjoying Posey and Mauer. Just watching these. And I realized Posey, tried to lay a bunt down last night, the number three hitter, with first and second, and you wanted to get something going. I don't think we've seen Mantle or Williams do that too often, and even Buster Posey wouldn't do it.
Or Barry Bonds.
Or Bonds. But Joe Mauer, I just love his swing, and I look at Posey, I look at him, and Bruce, I think I'm looking in the mirror at both those guys.
Yeah, there really are a lot of similarities there. You know, they're two real good young catchers. I mean, when Mauer was in his first few seasons, you're looking at, you know, the next Johnny Bench, an automatic Hall of Fame catcher, you know. Great hitter, great defender, can throw guys out. He had the whole package, and he took a bunch of foul tips off the head, a couple collisions, and next thing you know, he's thinking about his family, and am I going to be able to think straight when I'm 50, and these kind of things, and he's switching positions, and we're going to see that with Posey, too. Not necessarily concussion syndrome, but just it just makes sense. I don't think it's anytime soon, but I think, you know, eventually a guy that hits that well wants to make his career last a little bit longer, and you know, it's going to be third or first base. But again, that's, you know, Maurer told him, you know, stay behind the plate and do what you love, and that's definitely what Posey wants to do. He wants to be a big league catcher, and that's kind of the end of the argument.
Yeah, he does. Boy, Bruce, the matchup today in the last go, we've seen a lot of him. The Giants got to him the last couple of times, but he's always given him trouble. And Bumgarner, who all of a sudden has become very interesting to me. First of all, he's 5-3. He hasn't really pitched great yet as a consistent pitcher. He's getting killed at home. But you mess with this guy on the mound, and Bruce, I tell you, this is early win. This is old-time baseball.
Yeah.
You mess with this guy, and he not only will knock you down or hit you, he's going to come after you.
Yeah, he'll say a few things. Come on, let's go.
That's great.
Come on out here. I can't quite hear you. Come a little closer and say that. And it's great, too, because, you know, it's not like it sends him into a rage that throws him off for the next half an hour. He kind of forgets about it after a while, but you're absolutely right. I mean, he doesn't take any guff. He's got his standards, and if you violate his ethics code, you're going to hear about it. I love it. It's old school. I think, you know, if it starts a fight and you get two or three of your players hurt, you've gone over the edge. But, you know, the contrast between a guy like Bumgarner and Puig is what makes the game great. Because I like Puig as well. I like a guy who will, you know, celebrate and be exuberant about what he does. And the contrast between a hard ass like Bumgarner and this uninhibited guy, you know, is classic.
Yeah, and Tim Hudson on the SFGiants.com blog wrote that Bumgarner has the thinnest skin on the team by a country mile. That the guys eat, I mean, they'll tease him all day long in the clubhouse and get him all riled up. So, and he's got the size to back it up. On that kind of on that parallel note, Bruce, Mike and Dwayne last night on the telecast were talking about when Jim Barr and Danny Gladden were on the same ball club. Said that team had no chance of losing a fight. None whatsoever. What do you remember about those guys?
Yeah, well, Dan Gladden especially was a real scrapper from all the way back in his youth. He was the kind of guy that didn't start a lot of stuff, and just to talk to him day to day, you wouldn't necessarily know how tough he was. But those are usually the toughest guys. You know, they never say how tough they are because there's always going to be somebody tougher somewhere down the line. But when something happens, the guy springs into action. It's like, oh my God! You know, don't let that guy near you. Dave Stewart was another guy like that. I remember, you know, for the A's and Jim Barr, who's probably the least looking guy. You know, Jim Barr looked like a lawyer or something. You know, he was.
Hey, wait a minute. What do you mean by that?
I mean, in all.
Talking.
I don't mean in a weak kind of way. He just sort of looked sort of gentlemanly, and you know, he looked great in a three-piece suit. He was cutting a business deal or whatever.
Right.
He didn't see me as this kind of guy who would go crazy in a fight. But and you know, it's always good to have guys like that on your team because that's always going to be part of the game.
All right. Scott Miller reports on Twitter this morning that the Cubs have signed Manny Ramirez as a player coach at AAA Iowa. Seriously, just announced, yes, that Manny is what Scott Miller says. How do you like that?
Well, if I didn't know the affiliation for Iowa, and somebody asked me what franchise you think signed him, I'd say the Cubs.
Uh-huh.
It's very Cubs, a ridiculous Cubs move. I mean, I don't know what they're trying to accomplish there. But not that I wouldn't want to see him hit. I always like to see him hit, but, you know, I don't get that.
That's, well, it's one of the best. Des Moines is one of the best franchises. Mike Quadi, our good friend, managed there, and I know the ownership's very active. So maybe, you know, it's a local PR move, I guess.
Yeah, it's a great minor league setting for sure. They're a little desperate. So.
Yeah, that Rod Beck had the RV out
that's
behind
right.
center field.
Yeah,
remember?
That's right. That's where he had it, yeah.
Yeah, he'd leave the 12-packs out in front of, or the fans would leave 12-packs for him.
I think Mike had him. I think he was there with Mike at that time. Well, Mike loved him.
If you wanted a beer, you could just go out and knock on the next trailer. No problem. How about a six-pack, buddy?
That was it. That was it. And he had Bochy's helmet, so the six-pack and the ice would be in there at the same time.
Nice.
All right.
Hey.
All right. Sunday morning baseball. Bruce, have a good day. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
Thanks, Bruce.
All right, guys. Thank you.
All right. Bruce Jenkins here on KNBR 680.